She was a military wife and mother for over 30 years, and moving from place to place, she always kept a cool attitude, never stressed, never complained, moving from place to place and registering for schools and us meeting new friends and having to host different families being in the military, and I always admired that about my mom. My mom is a very committed person. When she commits to something that she's gonna do, she takes it from start to finish. She loves to volunteer at church. She sings in the choir and has for many, many years. In fact, she was in the choir when the sanctuary was dedicated, the sanctuary from the first time they expanded to the last time we were actually moving overseas that very same day to Germany right after the service. And so it was that much dedication that she made sure we were in church that day before we got on the plane and left. I really hope Alfred Street is excited to hear from my mom, because this is really her opportunity to shine. She never likes to be in the limelight, doesn't like a lot of attention. And I feel like finally today she can share her thoughts and memories, and she has a lot of wisdom to share, so hopefully everybody will enjoy it. First of all, I've told her this time and time again since I've been grown, I apologize for all the things growing up. I mean, I have two boys now, and it's very difficult raising children. And again, you know, she raised us what seemed like to me with ease, and so sorry for all the times, Mom, but love you and happy Mother's Day.
Good morning, my Apple Street family. And a happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. This is our day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. To Pastor Wesley, thank you for having given me this opportunity to share my personal thoughts and experiences on the challenges and the beauty of being a mother. I would like to share with you my favorite scripture that comes from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I'd like to read the paraphrase from the message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He is the one who will keep you on track. Let us pray. Dear Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. In June of 1964, Second Lieutenant Joseph Nickens and I were married. Between 1965 and 1972, we were blessed with three wonderful children, two girls and one boy. Thus began my journey as a mother. The Bible tells us that being a mother is a very important role that the Lord chooses to give many women. A Christian mother is told to love her children, to care for them, to nurture them, and embrace each one as a unique gift from the hand of God. Having grown up as an only child and knowing very little, if anything, about babies, my experience was minimal. Although we kept instructional manuals on everything we purchased, no manual came with the baby. So, the firstborn, Kimberly, I relied heavily on Dr. Spock's book. Now, I know you probably don't know, Google it. And the Holy Spirit. That experience gave me my first realization that it takes a village to raise a child. The other military wives became my village. We shared common interests and cared for each other and our children. Our family moved approximately 17 times in the 30 years and 3 weeks that we spent in the military. My experiences and my villages were many. We gained strength from each other as we raised our children and kept our sanity with and without our husbands being around. Fortunately, My village experience continued when I joined the Alpha Street Baptist Church in 1978, and it still exists after about 40 years. With a lot of the two P's, patience and prayer, by the time the other two children were born, life was a little bit easier. You know, as I look out through the congregation, I know many of you remember the days when most women were stay-at-home moms. Their job description included, but was not limited to, washing, cooking, cleaning, caring for the children, homework, chauffeuring, and other duties as assigned. In later years, women began pursuing careers, and the home and the children became a shared responsibility between the husband and the wife. As the wife of a military officer, I learned very quickly that my structure would be a little different. My job description as a mother would be very similar to those stay-at-home moms in the earlier years. However, I was not a stay-at-home mom. Yes, there would be a mother, the father, and children, but very little shared responsibility. The father would be gone a lot because of military duties. It may be a few days, a few weeks, a few months, or even 13 months at a time. And for a short period of time, he may be home for dinner every evening. Whatever the situation was at the moment, I learned to adjust and make the best of it. I will mention here that Kimberly was 3 months old when her father left for a 13-month assignment in Greece. Joey was 5 months old when he left for a 13-month assignment in Vietnam. When Natalie was 4 months old, he left again for 4 years. But this time, he took us with him. I'm still not sure that he did not request those previous unaccompanied tours. He and I both think that maybe the Army felt sorry for us and assigned him orders to Hawaii. We were to leave from San Francisco and cruise to Hawaii. We decided to drive across country. Now listen, I want anybody between the ages of 35 and 60 to close your eyes and just imagine driving from West Virginia to San Francisco with a 3-month-old, a 4-year-old, and a 7-year-old with no screen, you know, like the Nintendo and all that stuff. No Pampers, just diapers, which had to be washed every day. If you're too young to know why in the world you have to wash diapers, see me after church. So we would search for a laundromat wherever we stopped for the night. Okay, you can open your eyes. Hard to imagine, huh? But that was the reality. I made up a lot of songs, read stories, ignored them, but that wasn't easy to do. And as a last resort, threatened their lives. We visited friends along the way, some via invitation, and others we just showed up. There were lots of moves, but this was definitely the most memorable one. Now, I don't need to tell you that each stage of rearing our children became more and more challenging as they got older. I experienced the different stages: newborn, toddler, terrible twos, preteen, twix teen, teen years, the driving years, the heartbreak years, and let's not forget the running away years, even though they left a note saying where they were in case you wouldn't come get them. and the I hate school years. I'm sure you have names for years, Viron. I found that each move became more challenging. Each move meant that I was the new wife on the block, pretty easy adjustment, and the kids were the new kids on the block. Elementary school was pretty easy. Middle school was not too bad. But moving to a new high school and in a foreign country was a disaster. I found that entertaining families really helped the kids to get comfortable with their surroundings. Up came the two P's again, patience and prayer. Those two words became my cornerstone during those adjustment periods. Now, allow me to share a few tidbits that worked for me along the way. Be there for your children, even if you're not feeling it. Trust them. Try not to be overprotective. I know, that's a hard one. I struggled. Be consistent. Don't try to change the rules to fit the circumstances. Don't threaten punishment without being able to follow through. You know that you will not break their neck. Nor will you take their lives. Don't be afraid to communicate with them, regardless of the subject matter. Yes, you have to be a disciplinarian. Start from day one. Don't wait until middle school years. It's too late then. Joe and I did not always agree on the type of discipline, but we supported each other's choices. That is important. Children know how to play their parents one against the other. We found that our Come to Jesus meetings really helped immensely. As a mother, you know that above all of what I just mentioned is what 1 Thessalonians tells us in 5:17, pray without ceasing. And as a mother, that is what you have to do in the grocery store line, walk into the car, sitting at your desk while you're driving. So to keep people from thinking that I was talking to myself, I put my prayers to a little tune. You know, I would just walk through the grocery line or whatever. It may be in the tune of Blessed Assurance or whatever. Folks thought that I was singing, but I was praying. You have the Bluetooth these days, so you are good. People will think you're on the phone when you're praying. You may not be able to get on your knees where you are, but you can certainly pray wherever you are. Yes. Be a role model. Don't look outside for role models. Be a positive influence on your children. Our children look up to us and most likely will mimic what we do. And most of all, live with a mother's heart, a heart that is brave, intelligent, resourceful, and flexible, a heart that embraces her family with love and respect, a heart that sacrifices personal pleasure for the well-being of her family. I have shared some of my challenges of being a mother. Now let me tell you about the beauty of being a mother. On December 30th, 2010, God called our son Joy to his eternal rest. It hurt then, it hurts now, and it will always hurt. But, Pastor West, there's always a but, right? God has blessed me with two unique and strong daughters, Kimberly Joanne and Natalie Jonelle. Four awesome grandsons, Bryce Jacob, Zachary Jeremiah, Jonathan Joseph, and Jordan Ahmad. And two wonderful sons-in-law, Danny B. and Rodney D. And an amazing husband, Joseph. Someone once quoted, "Life is not measured by the number of breaths that you take, but by the moments that take your breath away." As a mother, by the grace of God, my cup runneth over with moments that take my breath away. And that, my friends, is the beauty of being a mother. Amen.
What makes my mom so special is that she's just a wonderful person. She cares about me. She's so generous and kind to everyone she meets. She's hard on me about school, but I know she only does that because she loves me and she wants the best for me. I remember back when I was younger, my mom and I went to Walmart and there was a really good parking space. A lady was backing out and my mom had her turn signal on to get into the parking space. Right when the lady backed out of the parking space, someone else drove right in. My mom had to pray that that she could keep herself calm. So after she said a little prayer, we went to the back and got a parking space in the back of the parking lot, and we laughed about it. We still laugh about it to this day. Obviously, she should be excited to hear from my mom because she knows how to give a speech. She knows how to give a presentation. She can rock the church. She's just a great person in that way. Mom, happy Mother's Day. I love you, and preach hard.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. Let us pray. To God be the glory for the great things he has done. Heavenly Father, thank you for waking me up this morning in my right mind. Lord, we come before you today to give you honor and praise because, Lord, you are worthy of the praise. Thank you for giving me this word. Please allow my words to be a blessing to someone. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning again, Alfred Street, and happy Mother's Day to all of the beautiful mothers out there within the sound of my voice. Thank you, Pastor Wesley and Reverend Fentress Williams, for having the faith in me to stand here and share a little of my story. Now, a lot of us use the word rich, and automatically we think of financial wealth. The Oprah kind of rich, the Beyonce kind of rich, the Sheila Johnson kind of rich. We often think about a big house or luxury cars, things that most of us only dream about. While growing up, I would often hear my parents say, "We are the richest, poorest family I have ever known." Now, I grew up in a military family, and until around the age of 14 years old, we moved every 2 to 3 years. And almost every place we moved, I had to share a room with my little sister. You call that rich? The day we marched into this new sanctuary, I was in the 10th grade. After service, we drove straight to the airport to relocate to Germany for the next 3 years. Moving in the 10th grade, leaving high school and all of my friends, I thought to myself, "You call this rich?" A scholar wrote, "Being rich isn't about money. Being rich is a state of mind." About 8 years ago, we lost our brother Joey. A lot of people came to support us at Joey's funeral. Most of them had never even met Joey or had only seen him once or twice. After the funeral, again, I heard my parents say, "We are the richest, poorest family I know." I realized that I had actually been feeling rich most of my life. I have always felt rich, but not with money. I have always felt rich with love and family and people around me who not only love me, but love my family as well. Now, don't get me wrong. Like most people, I do dream of winning the lottery one day and having lots of money and living a debt-free life. But when you really think about it, you'll find that you are rich once you stop counting the amount of money in your bank account and start counting the numerous blessings in your life. As mothers, I think the most valuable things in our lives are things that no amount of money can buy. So when I think about what makes me rich, I think about four things. The first thing that makes me rich are friendships. I think about the many friendships that I'm blessed with. I still hang out with friends that I met here at Alfred Street Baptist Church over 40 years ago. Friendships are so valuable. So mothers, instead of focusing on investing in stocks, invest in some quality friendships. I promise you, it'll make you feel richer than money ever could. The second thing that makes me rich is family. My husband and I have two boys. Jordan is a sophomore in college, and Jonathan is a sophomore in high school. Now, having two boys who play sports, instruments, and trying to keep them actively engaged in church can wear anyone down. Yeah. Believe me, it has not always been easy. And I always say we could be making a lot of money if there were hidden cameras, because our reality show would be good. But I believe that having a family who loves and supports you can make you feel like the richest person on earth. Mothers are faithful, even when everyone else doesn't believe. It is the faith that gives us hope for our children's future. Family is what makes your life worth living. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, I know there are some mothers out there saying, "Well, I didn't have a close family, or I didn't feel loved while growing up." And I say to you, that's fine. God is a God of second chances. No matter what kind of home you were raised in, you can always build yourself another one. Love your children in the way that they actually feel loved, and your whole family will feel rich beyond imagination. The third thing that makes me rich is pursuing a passion. Now, I have always wanted to be a teacher, always. But my professional career took me in another direction. My passion for teaching was always burning inside. So in order to get my teaching fix, I immersed myself in children's ministries, such as teaching at Awana, Vacation Bible School, Sunday School, and tutoring. About 2 years ago, I was between contracts, and at the suggestion of my sister, I decided to substitute teach. Those 3 months of teaching brought me more joy than any job I've ever had. Sometimes you need lows in your life in order to allow your body to replenish and pursue a long-burning passion. You also won't be capable of appreciating the things that ought to make you happy if you never experience any trouble in life. Mothers, do more. Make more mistakes, learn more, and regret as little as possible. The fourth thing that makes me rich is cherishing memories that make you smile and make you cry. A fun fact about me, my husband and I were born on the same day and same year. Same day, same year. We've never been able to really afford a big birthday party where we could invite all of our friends. So when we turned 50, we decided again not to have a party, but go away to Florida with our family to celebrate. As a surprise, we were blessed to be joined by most of our friends from our wedding party. Even our ring bearer, who is now an adult, was there to help us celebrate. The kids kept saying, "Aren't you going to have a party?" And I said to them, "This is our party." Later, a friend of mine, whom I call Twin, said to me, "You and Dan celebrated exactly the way you wanted to. Those memories will be cherished forever." Mothers, if you can look back at life and say you maximized every moment, you squeezed life out of every opportunity, then you are richer than you know. But when I think about how good God has been to me, even when I didn't deserve it, I realize that I am rich, not because of the money in my account, but I'm rich because I have two brown boys that I have not lost to the streets. I am rich. I'm rich not because I have two living parents, but I have two living, healthy parents. I'm rich because I have a man that has been by my side and my partner for over 33 years. I'm rich because I still have friends from the seventh grade that I see on a regular basis. I'm rich because I'm a member of a church that not only feeds me spiritually every Sunday, but my children as well. I'm rich because I have wonderful in-laws. I'm rich because I have friends that have shared their deepest and darkest secrets with me, because I'm just that kind of friend. I'm rich because I have people in my village who have been there for us in our time of need. I'm rich because I travel 5 miles one way to see my sister and her beautiful family, and 5 miles the other way to see my mom and dad. I live a rich life because I am a child of God. In closing, mothers, if you want to be rich, start investing in love and happiness. And remember, always count your blessings and not your dollars.
All weekend long, through the 8 bold and courageous sisters who stood and shared their journeys of mothers, we've heard the exact same things. Different stories.